Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this privilege that we have to be here today. And now as we consider the song that the angels sang and us being able to understand its beautiful message, we are so grateful that this time that you've designed for this turning point of the world's history is known and proclaimed and to some extent understood by the whole world. And as the world seeks to repeat this song in the near future, we are grateful to have a little insight into it. And we thank you for this privilege. We ask for your blessing on this hour, that our hearts be lifted and that we might praise you and our dear Savior. And in his name we pray.
Oh, thank you, Brother Chris. Well, friends, welcome to an hour of devotions, praise, song, and reflection on one of the holiest nights of all, the evening of our Lord's birth. In times past, it seemed that more of our world set aside this night, Christmas Eve, from all the others, as a special celebration. Many Christians sought to worship God and recognize the birth of his son by attending evening church services or reading the story of Jesus' birth together as a family. It seemed to be a time of year when people were more friendly to one another, more gracious, more willing to forget the cares of this life and to put their hopes in God. The giving of gifts was a reflection of our love towards one another, and that was itself a reflection of the love of God who gave us his only begotten as the greatest gift of all. Because the world wasn't at peace for most of the year, and certainly isn't now, Christmas has offered a temporary moment of peace to those who have celebrated it. As time has passed, we have seen that for many, the Christmas season has steadily declined from this high standard of love and peace into other things, lesser traditions, pagan rituals, and commercialization, and in some cases, even magic. And the true meaning of Christmas has been lost to a very large degree. But hope has remained in the hearts of children, and one day soon, that hope will be fully realized by all children everywhere, when the greatest gift shines upon their hearts and brings joy fully into the lives of all. And it started here on this, the holy night. It was this hope for joy and peace that inspired the men and women who wrote many beautiful Christmas hymns over the ages that we sing today. Like our opening hymn, the Christmas songs of peace and worldwide joy taken from Scripture still sound softly in the hearts of men and women all around the world, especially in those that take pleasure in loving kindness and doing good things for other people. As we explore a few of these hymns and scriptures together, we hope that you too are inspired by their words and their sentiments. It's a real blessing to be together on the eve before Christmas to celebrate God's great love for all of mankind. The love that brought us to the most precious child, laid in a manger by his mother, Mary. One hymn, perhaps the most beautiful, O Holy Night, has a somewhat exceptional and interesting origin. We'll spend a bit more time on this hymn than on some of the others that we will hear and sing in this hour of worship. O Holy Night was first written in 1843 as a poem by the Frenchman Placide Capot. The author suffered a tragic accident as a boy when a playmate accidentally shot his hand with a gun. And you'll notice in this picture, he doesn't have his right hand. Unable to work in his father's trade, Placide became an academic and pursued a career later as a wine merchant. Despite being an atheist, and later outwardly speaking against the church, he accepted a commission to write a Christmas poem by a local priest. He took this task seriously and prepared his poem by diligently studying the book of Luke. In 1847, the opera singer Emily Laurie asked her Jewish friend, Adolph Adam, to compose the music, and thus the hymn was born. But when a broader Catholic audience found out that the hymn was apparently written by an atheist and the music added by a Jew, it was banned for several decades. It's still not in the United Methodist hymn book today, interestingly enough, and we'll come back to that. Well, Capot's words are remarkably reverential and transparently full of hope. Weary mankind living under the bonds of sin, through the Savior, rejoices in hope, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. It's amazing sometimes how an outside perspective can see the radiant beauty of the simple truth in Scripture. O Holy Night, known in French as Cantique de Noël, was translated into English in 1855 by John S. Dwight, who modified verse 3 to include the words, "His law is love, and his gospel is peace, and in his name all oppression shall cease." Well, the story of the hymn has continued to be somewhat legendary. John Perry, on hymnary.org, where you can find a lot of good research on hymns, said this of O Holy Night. In 1906, Reginald Fessenden did something thought impossible. Using a new type of generator over Morse code radio, usually used for ships, he spoke into a microphone, and for the first time in history, a voice was broadcast over the airwaves. And he read from the Book of Luke. And when the professor finished his reading, he picked up his violin and played O Holy Night, the first song ever played over the airwaves in the whole world. Imagine the surprise of listeners everywhere, never suspecting such a thing was possible. Well, others, such as Crystal Cavanis from the United Methodist Church, are a bit more skeptical as to the actual facts of the matter. But they do put the legend into proper perspective. And Crystal writes, whether Capot was an atheist, Adam was Jewish, or Fessenden marked the first broadcasted performance with the popular Christmas song, seems not to matter. More than 175 years later, at Christmas Eve services throughout the world, congregations rejoice in the promise brought by Jesus' divine birth by singing the words, "With a thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices." Well, our duo to my right and your left will now play two instrumental verses of the praiseful hymn, O Holy Night. Thank you. Thank you. That music is beautiful and it was played beautifully. O Holy Night has been performed by popular artists around the world, and as Crystal had mentioned, for almost 200 years. Later on in our hour, we'll hear another reverential rendition of the worldwide favorite hymn, as Brother Richard even opened with his service, and it's just gorgeous to hear, with voice or just instrument. Well, at this time, we'd like to call on Sister Lori Jesuit to read excerpts from the second chapter of the book of Luke.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn, And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Thank you, Sister Lori. This is such a blessed and familiar passage in Scripture, telling us of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, another beautiful hymn was written by Charles Wesley, brother to the well-known John Wesley, in 1739. Charles is widely regarded as one of the most prolific of all hymn writers, with multiple thousands of hymns to his credit. Hark the Herald Angels Sing is a Christmastime classic highlighting the great amount of angelic attention given by our Heavenly Father to His Son's miraculous birth. Similar to O Holy Night, there is a direct reference to Christ's work of reconciling the world from sin, and many echoes from the book of Luke and the Old Testament. As we sing this hymn together, try to note the appearance of the many titles of our Lord and Savior in the text. Our duo will play first an instrumental verse, and then we will all join in to sing the song's three verses. Hark the Herald. Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Thank you.
Well, the birth of Jesus truly was a spectacle of contrasts. For what other birth had received an angel's welcome such as this? Humble shepherds were witnesses to not only the glorious announcement of the good news, but to the baby Jesus as well. What child is this will be performed for us now by Justin and Amelia. The humility of the shepherds was matched by the setting of the birth. The town of Bethlehem, described by the prophet Micah. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. And this reminds us, of course, of the passage that we read earlier from Luke 2. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Bethlehem, the town where David himself was shepherd to his father Jesse's sheep, as we're told in 1 Samuel 17. Let's sing together, O little town of Bethlehem. Please wait for the introductory verse to conclude before we sing. Thank you. Well, this theme of greatness contrasted with lowliness is a frequent one in Scripture. The Spirit of God fell upon Mary when she first learned from the angel Gabriel that she would be the one to give birth to the Messiah. Mary's prayer, recorded for us in Luke 1, reflects the proper attitude that all will have when they recognize the incredible gift from God that has been given personally to them. Without a shadow of a doubt, Mary saw the magnitude of this coming experience for her and the still future effect that her son would have upon the entire earth. And Sister Josie Wessel will now read for us Mary's special prayer from Luke 1.
And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation."
And one more, if you don't mind. Thank you.
"He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our father, to Abraham, and to his seed forever."
Thank you, Sister Josie. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit, how glorious and prophetic were Mary's words. And how blessed will be the world of mankind when they're under the influence of the Holy Spirit as well. Well, Mary was truly blessed and has been called blessed, just as her prayer foretells. A moving German Christmas carol that was written some 500 years ago captures this sentiment with music, based on the words of the prophet in Isaiah chapter 11. And here we are given one of the more famous pictures of the peaceable kingdom, showing the work that Mary's son, the Messiah, would do. And we're going to have our sister Christina Martiri read excerpts from Isaiah chapter 11.
"There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The wolf shall also dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea."
Thank you, Sister Christina. What a glorious picture of what is to come from this rod, this flower sprung from the stem of Jesse. Well, lo, how a rose e'er blooming is that 500-year-old traditional German carol. And Justin and Amelia will now play it for us. Even though I will put words on the screen, please don't sing them. Please listen and reflect upon the words of the song and the promised hope from the prophet. Thank you. The promise of the kingdom and unreserved hope fills the hearts of all who recognize the grandeur of God's gift of Jesus. It would be this little child, born to Mary in Bethlehem, that would reconcile all people back to God. It would be Jesus, his willing love and sacrifice, his faithful death on the cross, that would accomplish the all-important first step of God's plan. Well, the next step is for those that God called through the Son to finish their sympathizing experience, becoming saints and sons of God during this age of the gospel message. As the apostle says, the creation eagerly awaits the revealing, the manifestation of the sons of God, and the return of the King. Let's sing another Christmas hymn, one that praises God for the good news, for the sending of Jesus our Lord, for the gospel of Christ, and for the wonders of his love. Once again, our musicians will play an introductory instrumental verse, and then we will join with them for four verses of Joy to the World. We have one more small present to share with you today, brethren. We've heard the beautiful melody of Cantique de Noël, O Holy Night, but we haven't heard the words, except in Brother Richard's service, of course, as sung by Jesse Norman. Enjoy this reverential rendition sung by the choir of King's College at Cambridge. And for your reflection, maybe a little singing, if you would like, the words will be shared on the screen, but I encourage you to listen. It is very beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, I'm struck by the simplicity of the gospel message, by how it hides in plain sight within the words of these hymns, within scripture, and within the hopes of children. All creation awaits the return of its King. What a blessed evening we have ahead of us. May your thoughts and hearts be encouraged by this consideration of our dear Redeemer's birth. It has been a joy to spend this time of praise and song with you. And I'd like especially to thank our readers and to Justin and Sister Amelia for their music and for leading us in song. Glory be to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Let's close our devotions with the use of hymn 346 in our hymn books, Silent Night. And the words will be on the screen, and once again, our duo will play an instrumental verse before we join them in song. And after our closing hymn, Brother Joe Migas will close our services for the day with a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee at the close of this service and at the end of our day of worshiping Thee in spirit and in truth, overcome by emotions of awe, praise, and gratitude. for the majesty of thy unspeakable gift of thy dear Son to be the world's Redeemer and Savior. And as the Christian world pauses at this time of year to contemplate that gift and the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, we too desire to be reminded of him, not only his birth, but his life and his death, and what that means to us individually and collectively. We desire to be drawn nearer to him, to thee, and to each other as this season comes upon us now, and not only in the next day or two, but in the weeks and months and years to come. May we hold precious in our hearts all of the things that we have heard and seen and thought of, not only today, but as we remember that gift. We have sung our praises with our voices. We continue to sing our praises in our hearts as we part from this place. We pray that thou would be with us now as we go about our daily lives, but always keeping foremost in our hearts thee and our Savior. We pray for the full establishment of the kingdom, which his birth and life and death have guaranteed for all mankind. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.